In Exodus chapter 3, and as this lesson developed, I was painfully aware that I was just scratching the surface of the subject matter of the name Yahweh. But I was resolved that we'll just have to look at it some more. We've got a long time, whether it be in this life or the next, to further explore and enjoy the names of God and His presence. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 13, this is the call of Moses. And I have found it interesting that in the life of Moses, it could pretty well be exemplified by verse 3, Moses said, "I will, I will." And that seemed to be his attitude early in life, "I will." But then he came to the burning bush, and after saying, "I will, turn aside and see what this is all about," he met "I am." And there his life was changed forever. Verse 13, Moses said unto God, "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The Lord, the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you." I'm sorry, I'm having a little trouble with my eyes here. Let me get my glasses. "Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you." And then in chapter 6, and we will spend a lot of time in the book of Exodus today, and I encourage you to keep your Bibles handy, because I have not listed the verses in Exodus that we will be referencing, so we'll need to turn to them and read them. Exodus chapter 6. Verse 1, "Then the Lord said unto Moses, Now shalt thou see what I will do to Pharaoh. For with a strong hand shall he let them go, and with a strong hand shall he drive them out of his land. And God spake unto Moses, and said unto him, I am the Lord. And I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty, El Shaddai. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them." Interesting. "By my name Jehovah was I not known to them." On the front cover of your lesson from the Desiring God website of John Piper, I have included these 10 things that the name Yahweh, I am, Jehovah, says about God. Number one, he never had a beginning. Now, I have added this word aseity. Is when we think of the attributes of God, do any of you think of what is known as the aseity of God? Anybody here familiar with that term? Aseity? Good, I don't feel so bad. Aseity. Aseity is from the Latin, a meaning from, and se, meaning self. The aseity of God, and this bides well with I am, is God's attribute or quality of being self-derived or self-originated. His self-sufficiency, autonomy. And so we say, whether or not we use the word, we say that God is eternal, do we not? I am. Not I was. I am. The self-existent one. Number two, God will never end. If he did not come into being, he cannot go out of being, because he is. being. Now, if you haven't blown a circuit in your mind yet, then you concentrate and meditate on these things, and you most certainly will. We can't quite comprehend this. God had no beginning. I can believe it by faith. This is the God that I love and serve. He had no beginning. And as we say it so often from a practical sense, do we really want to serve a God who had a beginning? Because the point is well made. If he had a beginning, then naturally he could have an ending. Our God will never end. Number three, God is absolute reality. There is no reality before him. There is no reality outside of him unless he wills it and makes it. Number four, God is utterly independent. There is that aseity. That was one of the definitions of God. God's aseity is he is independent. Everything that is not God depends totally on God. All the universe is by comparison to God as nothing. God is constant. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He cannot be improved. He is not becoming anything. He is who he is. God is the absolute standard of truth and goodness and beauty. There is no law book to which he looks to know what is right. Number nine, God does whatever he pleases, and it is always right and always beautiful and always in accord with truth. Number 10, God is the most important and most valuable reality and person in the universe. That is the I Am. That is Yahweh. Now, why do we say Yahweh and Jehovah? Which is right? Well, it depends on who you ask, but the bottom line is we're not sure. Because Yahweh, Jehovah are pronunciations. And we will look a little bit later about that. Now, this morning, some of you have called me brother. You don't say Brother Russ or Rusty, like I call myself when I'm mad at me. You don't say that. You said to me, brother. Hey, brother. Hey, brother. I'm happy to refer to as brother. Philip and Aaron are here, my children. I'm Dad, capital D. In fact, in writing, I like that, that's really good, capital D. In writing, when I'm referred to by them, if they say with a possessive, my dad, it's not capitalized. But if they say, Dad will be here at 5, you better have your room clean, Dad is capitalized. Why? Because it's my name. That's their name for me. I'm Dad. Based upon what? My relationship with them, right? Based upon the relationship, they call me Dad, right? My wife is here. And I'm usually referred to by some term of endearment like sweetie or sugar or honey or molasses. And the key word is usually. Usually. Now, these are names for me based upon a close, loving relationship, namely a husband and wife relationship. Seldom does my wife call me on the phone and say, hey, Russell. If she did, I don't know, I would have to pause and say something's wrong. Hey, Russell. Wouldn't offend me, but I probably could count on both hands over 30 years of marriage, how many times my wife has called me Russell. And yet my name, my proper name, is Russell. My kids do not call me Russell out of respect, but it is my name. Today, our focus is on the name Jehovah. And this is the self-revealed proper name for God. God has said, I am. By my name, Jehovah, I am. This is his proper name. This is the name that, of God that the Jews of old and some today refuse to utter. I won't say it. won't write it. Now, on its surface, that seems like honor, and lest they take his name in vain, but what it has developed into is somewhat of a superstition. We don't have that superstition. We should honor his name. And the word Jehovah, or Yahweh, is formed by the Hebrew root word, which means to be. To be, I am. Modern scholars prefer to pronounce the Hebrew YHWH, which are no vowels. That kind of leads to our problem of pronunciation. No vowels. This is called a tetragram. YHWH. They prefer to use the word pronunciation Yahweh. This word Yahweh is found over 6,000 times in the Old Testament. Most often appearing in our Bibles as Lord, all capitals. So if you see Lord in all capitals in the Hebrew, that is Yahweh. That is Jehovah. There are other translations, other words that are translated Lord, lowercase O-R-D, like Adonai. But Lord, all caps, is Jehovah, over 6,000 times in the Old Testament. It's also translated God. Not very many times, but you do have Jehovah translated God, all capitals. Sometimes God is translated capital G, lowercase O-D. That is a different name for God. And then Jehovah is actually, as we saw in Exodus 6, translated Jehovah. Sometimes the Jews altered the spelling just a little bit, or replaced Yahweh with Adonai, lest they take his name in vain. As the front of our lesson explains, the name itself, which means self-existent one, says many things about the one true God whom we love, serve, and worship. And so we find ourselves in Exodus chapter 6, and here is a very controversial passage because it seems as though there's a contradiction in the Bible. In verse 3, by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. How is it that God could say that Jehovah, the name Jehovah, was not a name that he was, quote, known to them, the patriarchs? When we go back into the book of Genesis, in chapter 4, verse 26, which is a reference from one of our lessons, then men began to call upon the name of Jehovah. How is it that God could say, by my name Jehovah, I was not known to them? In chapter 15, verse 7, I am Jehovah, Yahweh, that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, speaking to Abraham. So is this a contradiction? Well, I think no. No, the answer is no. But I think the best way to understand it is to, first of all, we get back to this word no, which we've referenced many times in the last year or so, the different words in the Old and New Testament that are translated no. In the Old Testament, it is yada, Y-A-D-A. And I want to give you an example from 1 Samuel chapter 1, what it means to know. Let's look, and this is for example or illustration purposes. Chapter 1, verse 20. We've got a lot of ground to cover, so I'll try to move along pretty quickly this morning. Hannah had prayed for a child. She said, I'll give him to the Lord. Lord, give me a child, I'll give him back to you. When the time was come about after Hannah had conceived that she bare a son and called his name Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. Verse 27, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition, which I asked of him. Verse 28, therefore also I have lent him to the Lord, Jehovah. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to Jehovah. And he worshipped Jehovah there. Who worshiped? Samuel. Look at chapter 2, verse 18. But Samuel ministered before Jehovah. Verse 26. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with Jehovah and also with men. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto Jehovah before Eli, and the word of Jehovah was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Verse 4, then Jehovah called Samuel, and he said, answered, here am I. Now look at verse 7. Now Samuel did not yet know Jehovah. Interesting. All these verses about his worshiping, ministering, yet he did not know Jehovah. And so again, I reiterate, the emphasis here is on the word know. And I believe that's what God is saying in Exodus chapter 6. They have not known me by my name Jehovah. So they called upon your name. Mm-hmm. Yeah, some of you have done that too. You have prayed in the name of Jesus all of your young adult life, and then the Holy Spirit of God shows you that you still do not know Him. Have you been there? You do not know Him. And then there are others of us who have truly been born again from a young age, and yet we know Him, but yet we do not truly know Him. Paul knew Him, but he says, that I may know Him. And so here is the emphasis, I believe, that God is saying in Exodus chapter 6. There is no contradiction. So what did God mean to say? What did God mean by their knowing Him by Jehovah? Well, it's a real blessing. And in Exodus chapter 6, and I would appreciate your turning there, we're going to look at several verses here. I believe what God is saying to Moses is, I am going to show you your God as Redeemer. Look at verse 7. I will take you to me for a people, and I will be to you a God, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God, which bringeth you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. He is Yahweh. He is Jehovah. That is, He is the Redeemer of His people. That's what God is saying here, I believe. Taking His people for Himself. Allowing His people to know Him. Delivering His people from their afflictions. Is this a picture of our salvation in Christ? Absolutely. He is our Redeemer. He brought us out of Egypt. Jehovah God is our Redeemer. Verse 5 of chapter 7. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt and bring out the children of Israel from among them. He is judge. Verse 17. Thus saith the Lord, in this thou shalt know that I am Jehovah. Behold, I will smite with the rod that is in mine hand upon the waters and which are in the river, and they shall be turned to blood. He is master over His creation. Look at verse 8, verse 10, chapter 8, verse 10. He said, tomorrow. And He said, be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord our God. Speaking of the plagues. Verse 22, and I will sever in that day the land of Goshen, in which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am Jehovah in the midst of the earth. chapter 9, verse 14. For I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that thou mayest know that there is none like me in all the earth. He is the controller of men's hearts. In chapter 14, verse 4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all his hosts, that the Egyptians may know that I am Jehovah. He provides for his own. Chapter 16, verse 12. I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, speak unto them, saying, at even ye shall eat flesh, and in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know. Did they not know by now? No, he's still revealing, you see. You may know, shall know, that I am Jehovah. I am Jehovah. This is what I believe, again, that the emphasis is in the words of our Lord to Moses. They have not known me as Jehovah, but I am prepared to reveal myself as Jehovah. Chapter 29, verse 45. This is wonderful. This is just beautiful. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am, still speaking future, they shall know that I am Jehovah, their God that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am Jehovah. I am tempted to say, get it, children of Israel. But then I am reflective of my own life and how many times the Lord has blessed and says, listen, you can trust me, Russell. Trust me. And I come to the conclusion, yes, I can trust him. And then it's like the next day, and I'm wringing my hands, and the Lord says, trust me. And I realize he can be trusted. But yet, next week comes financial difficulty. And I have to learn again. Trust me. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. I can be trusted. I'll take care of you. I'll take care of you. I'll meet your needs. If I could be a little more personal, this about back in January, our renters from Kentucky decided they were going to leave, and I was running a little close. You know, I got rent money, I paid mortgage money. That's how it went. I didn't have a big safety nest egg that you're supposed to have when you rent a house. And the weight of that started bearing down on me. And I was praying. And here again, reminded by the Lord through His Word, have I taken care of you in the past? I'll take care of you in the future. Within weeks, We'd sold the house in West Texas. I mean, financially, everything was great. Just boom. Have I taken care of you in the past? Was I Jehovah in the past? I'm Jehovah now. So the knowledge of the great God, Yahweh, is something that as the children of Israel kept having to learn, we too keep having to learn. He can be trusted. He is great. In chapter 31, verse 13, speak thou also unto the children of Israel, saying, verily my Sabbath ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you, throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord, that doth sanctify you. He is Jehovah, the sanctifier of His people. Chapter 33, this wonderful passage, Moses, show me thy glory. Verse 13, chapter 33, now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee, that I may find grace in thy sight and consider that this nation is thy people. Look at verse 19. And he said, I will, God, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of Yahweh, Jehovah, before thee. He is the revealer of His glory. That is Jehovah. And what does this mean to us New Testament Christians? Wasn't there a pretty big wall between the Old and New Testaments? Isn't that some different dispensation? No. No, no big wall. Yahweh is revealed to us by Christ. Jesus, Jehovah, is salvation. Behold, Isaiah chapter 12, verse 2. God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord, Jehovah. Now, if you're wondering, did the writer say Jehovah, Jehovah here? Because Lord is all caps. Well, no. Actually, Lord here is a shortened version or form of Yahweh, Jehovah. It's like he said, Yah, Yahweh, or Jah, Jehovah, is my strength and my song. He also is become my salvation. And then in that New Testament, she, Mary, shall bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. Jehovah is salvation, for he shall save his people from their sins. Yahweh. Jehovah, the name of our God, revealed to us in Christ, by Christ. He is the image of Jehovah. Hebrews 1:3. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Jesus reveals the glory, who is the image of the invisible God. He is the image of the invisible God. When you have seen me, he says, you have what? Seen the Father. The firstborn of every creature, for in Him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. He is our Redeemer. He is our Redeemer. In Isaiah, we are told that the Redeemer shall come to Zion. And unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. Paul tells Titus, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good work. Who is this Jesus? This Jesus is Jehovah. He is Jehovah. So, well, I don't believe that that the New Testament bears out that Jesus was deity. Well, look, if Paul was trying to prove that Jesus was not deity, he sure did a poor job in Titus chapter 2. Would you agree? If he was trying to deny the deity of Christ, he blew it in Titus chapter 2. Because he refers to Jesus as the great God and our Savior. What does this mean to us? It means that Jehovah is salvation. It means that the Lord Jesus Christ is our Redeemer. He is, fourthly, the judge of the earth. I'm reflecting back on those verses in Exodus. If you look back there in your outline, the second point under Yahweh revealed to His people in Exodus was as judge. Well, He is our judge. He is the judge of the earth. Psalm 98 says, "Before the Lord, for He is cometh to judge the earth." In Revelation 19:11, "I saw heaven opened, and behold a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge." He is our judge. The Father hath committed the judgment to the Son. He is Master and Lord of His creation. Who is? Jehovah or Jesus? Yes. For by Him were all things created. Wait a minute. I read in my Old Testament that Jehovah Elohim created. And here Paul says, for by Christ were all things created. That are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him. And, notably, for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. He is the controller of men's hearts. Christ is. We said that about Pharaoh in 14:4 of Exodus. Paul says it in 2 Corinthians 4. God, who commandeth the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Without chasing too much of a soteriological rabbit this morning, let me just say, when you stand before Christ, your plea to Him will not be, "Let me in because I accepted Jesus." It will be, "I am here because He has shined in my heart." Well, that's good preaching. I don't care if you like it or not. He is the provider. Is He not? He is the provider for His own, just like He was there in chapter 16:12 of Exodus. Hebrews 13 says, "Let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things as you have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." So that we may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." He is our Lord Jesus, the dweller with us. Prophesied to Mary by the angel was this: "A virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call His name Emmanuel," which being interpreted is what? God with us. God with us. Then later, Paul to the Colossians, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you." He dwells with His people. He is the dweller. Remember Yahweh saying, "That I may be with them." Here comes Jesus, the Son in bodily form. Emmanuel, God with us. Later, he says, let not your heart be troubled. I'm leaving, but I am sending the Comforter, God with us. The indwelling Holy Spirit of God. He is the dweller, capital D, with us. He is our sanctification. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. I love that. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He is the revelation of glory. No man has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. You think John, as we've learned from our pastors preaching on the book of John, you think John is promoting the thought that Jesus is God? Well, I would say it just like I said before. If he wasn't, he sure missed it. Because over and over in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Revelation 21, 23, and the city hath no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. Whose glory is that? That's Yahweh's glory. And the Lamb is the light thereof. He is the revelation of glory. He is the self-existent one. He says himself in Revelation 1:8, I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was, and which is to come. Sounds like I am the Almighty. John Gill says this, Christ is the Alpha, the chief as to his divine nature, being God over all, blessed forever, and in his divine sonship, none, angels or men, are in such sense the Son of God as he is. And in all his offices of prophet, priest, and king, he is the prophet, the great prophet of the church. Never man spake like him or taught as he did. He is the most excellent priest that exceeds Aaron and all his sons, having an unchangeable priesthood. And he is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He has the chief place in the church. He's the head of it. And has in all things the preeminence. He is the chief in honor and dignity, is at the right hand of God and has a name above every name. The great God, Jehovah. Let everything that hath breath praise Jehovah. Father, thank you this morning for that name which is above every name. We would worship you today, laying aside the opinions, the preferences, the flesh, worshiping you in spirit and in truth. We ask you to meet with us in a real way. Teach us from your word these things. And as we take one step closer in knowing you, reveal yourself to us, great God, Yahweh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.